Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Mr. McHale's Manor of Mischief, Magic, and Mystery. I am your host, Andrew McHale, and thank you for listening to another episode of the 6M Podcast. It's the first podcast of the new decade. It's January 5th, 2020, and it's quite an eventful 5 days it has been. Am I right, folks? Yes. There's been a lot going on in the world. There's been a lot happening in my own circles, in my own mind. And I figured, what better way to start the new year than with a fucking podcast? So, here we are. We're going to get into a lot of stuff today. A lot of it kind of rapid fire, just touching base on some things. It's going to be a little bit more of a lax episode today, I think. Not so much philosophy or occult stuff or whatever. Just trying to have some fun today. The weather's pretty nice. I've got a lot of shit to do today. It's Sunday. I'm sure all of you guys have shit to do today. So let's get this party started. First announcement, if you have a band or if you want your band featured on the podcast, feel free to submit. You can contact me on Instagram at Andrucifer, A-N-D-R-U-C-I-V-E-R, or just fucking hit me up on Facebook if you want. Another announcement for the podcast. Please submit some questions to the podcast. When I ask, I know some of you, I mean, pretty much all of you that are listening to this, I'm sure follow me on socials. So when I ask a question, looking for questions, ask. I mean, I've spent the last 10 years fielding questions in my inbox on all things, and all of a sudden everybody's got cold feet. So just fucking ask the question and I can actually dive into it here versus me fielding it online and not wanting to dive too much, because that's a lot of typing and I'm a guitar player and I would rather be playing guitar and randomly podcasting. So fucking submit some questions if you want. Other than that, that's it for the podcast announcements. Now, Serpents, for those of you who don't know, I'm the singer guitarist of Serpents US, and we usually do a little bit of an update in every episode. So here's the update. We have some winter merch available for pre-order. It's a hoodie and also a long sleeve. It's been a long time since we've done merch because it's been always hard to actually pay for and manufacture merch and get the designs and all that stuff. So we're not like most bands that like release a lot of merch throughout the year or blow out, you know, designs out the ass just because, you know, we got a design here, got a design, you got a design. This is actually a big deal for us. I'm not trying to put us in contrast with any other bands, but if you guys actually want to support the band, pre-order the merch when we have it available, when we do sales, try and pick up something because, like I said before, everything that comes in, we spend on the band or helping grow the band. So whenever we do that stuff, we really need it. So please, if you want, pick up some merch. I think personally, I think the designs are pretty killer, but you're asking me, so, or you guys didn't ask, but hey, other than that, another announcement. We just put up Miles's, top 25 of 2019. It's a Spotify playlist. So if you have not already followed us on Spotify, I don't know why you haven't. Please do at Spotify. You can find us at Serpents US. And you will find our guitar player Miles's killer fucking playlist. I like it a lot, especially if you like more shred or technical metal, stuff like that, you'll probably like this playlist, because my playlist is all over the place. And an Easter egg playlist is John's playlist. I think if you guys stumble onto that one, you'll have a little bit of a laugh. But other than that, we don't have many announcements as far as Serpents goes, because we're trying to get our footing. We have no shows scheduled as of yet, because we don't have a fucking agent. And trying to get an agent, trying to get a manager, trying to get a team behind us that you know, believes in us and is willing to do the work along with us, not for us, but with us. And hopefully that changes soon, so then I could start announcing some shows instead of babbling about merch and playlists. So here are the links. So follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/wearserpents, Instagram at Serpents Metal, Twitter at We Are Serpents. Our merch and CDs are at wearserpents.bandcamp.com, and Spotify is Serpents US. And then if you're fucking overwhelmed and you just want this to be over with, head to wearserpents.com and everything should be there for you to see as a whole. So I've been holding out on an announcement as far as Serpents goes, but I'm just trying to see trends and see where you guys are at. And I don't think we're ready to make this announcement yet. So until we start seeing some buzz or whatever, we're going to hold tight to the last announcement as far as what's to come. So fucking help us out and help us get to gigging and screaming on stage in front of you all. Otherwise, you guys could just sit on your phones, sit on your computers at home, and life moves on. So, speaking of life, right? How was your guys' New Year's Eve? Huh? This is, like I said, January 5th. This podcast date is January 5th. And five days in. And I'm not really big on New Year's Eve celebrations, personally. I know most American culture, or not even just American culture, people all around the world celebrate New Year's Eve with all the bells and whistles. But being a touring musician, well, let me back up. When I was a kid, New Year's was obviously a big deal, like for me. I still remember Y2K, which is kind of crazy. But being a touring musician, you know, holidays that most of you guys celebrate at home or look forward to throughout the year, it's just literally another day, or like another risk you're taking as far as like shows and shit. Because like, let's say whatever, Halloween, let's say you're playing a Halloween show. Like I remember we were on tour in the UK, and it was a Halloween show. And very last minute, we all kind of pulled together some outfits, and we're like, yeah, we'll make it like a theme show. And everyone in the crowd was, dressed up. And after the show, the whole place turned into a nightclub, which was more fun than the show itself. But that you're asking me. But, and then, you know, after the show, the whole city turned into like a fucking party, and everyone was dressed up and shit like that. So it's, for me, that was a win as far as like, oh, we played a sold out show and had a good time, and I got to celebrate the holiday and all that stuff. But let's say you're playing like Easter or something, like on Easter or whatever, which this actually happened. Like no one came to the show. And then you're like, cool, I wish I wasn't here playing this show to basically no one, and I would rather be at home with my family. So Same thing goes for New Year's. You know, everybody makes a big deal about it. And, you know, I think the last New Year's I spent on tour might have been like Fargo. I just remember being in a hotel room and just like hearing guns or firework, like, you know, that game is a firework or guns. And I just remember watching the TV and just tindering furiously, trying to get out there. Oh, and eating, obviously, always eating and drinking too. See, we're unleashing some memories. But as far as that goes, as far as New Year's Eve goes, you know, kind of sucks because I was kind of hoping to not wake up to bad news, and woke up to my own bass player posting a picture of his car getting wrecked, and I immediately like panicked. I was like, oh my god, what the fuck happened? Because he lives in like southern Illinois or central Illinois. I'm sure he would correct me if I say either, but I just remember being like, because when I went to bed, I was like, I hope nobody fucking dies tonight. You know, like not even just like my band, just like people I know. And I woke up to that, and coincidentally enough or whatever, I was like, oh, it's my fucking bass player. What just happened? And apparently he hit a deer. Well, not apparently, he hit a deer and fucking like wrecked his car, which is fucking crazy, man. But other than that, you know, it was a pretty low-key night at the house. We didn't go celebrate. The last time I celebrated New Year's Eve, I actually got broken up with. So, not influencing my current state of things, but I just remember the last New Year's, I actually went out with, like, my girlfriend at the time. We fought about it for about 3 weeks before New Year's. You know, she was like, I want to go out. And, like I said earlier, I was like, well, I'm not really big on New Year's because I've always been gone and this is not really a big deal for me. And literally we were arguing, and the girl's sister and her husband at the time, they were all over the place. They were pretty much, they were a mess of a marriage. And sorry if you're listening to this, I doubt you are. But your marriage was a little bit of a mess because dude was a cop, but also drank a lot. Like he was a drunken cop and kind of abusive-y. I mean, that's the nicest thing I could say about the situation. And, you know, the whole argument was like, they're going out, why don't we go? They're going out, they invited us, we're going to get a hotel room, we're going to get a table, it's going to cost, and remember, touring musician, so when I hear $100 table, and that's just for the fucking table, then I got to spend for bottles, then I got to spend for dinner, and then I got to buy the hotel. I'm already having a heart attack, but... you know, she's like, oh, we have to get this, we have to get the hotel room. They already got the hotel room. They only got it because we had to split it, and they need the money because the kids, and they can't, they already spent too much money, and then we got to get a table. And I'm like, all right, okay, fine. Let's do this fucking New Year's thing, right? So we go out, and we go bar to bar, and then, like clockwork, the dude is starting to get angrier and angrier with his whatever wife at the time. I don't know if they're divorced now, but who fucking cares? And, you know, whatever's going on, he's walking around, when the dude like gets mad, yells, and then like walks away. So like the woman could be just like, and then like everybody could swarm the girl and be like, oh my God, is he okay? So he did that. And I stood by the ladies. I was like, what the fuck is this shit? You know, I'm like, what did he just do? You know? And he walked away and then came back you know, blessed us with his presence. And then somebody did something or said something or whatever, and he cold cocks this guy. He fucking punches this guy. And the girls start getting involved and fighting other people. And I start getting involved, but I was more like throwing people like away. So like when I really don't want to get involved or get physical, I will try to disassemble the situation physically. So I literally was throwing people away from the situation so that like security or whatever can start catching people and like catching people and releasing, like, I got you. What the fuck are you doing? Blah, 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 go over here. I got you. You know, so I'm doing that. And then I get caught. Like the guy thought I was beating people up or whatever. And long story short, cops came. And even the cops, let me fast forward this because this is kind of a funny tidbit for those of you who are anti-establishment. So, like I said earlier, this dude was a cop, but he was a wild card. So, him and I are against the wall, and he's in handcuffs, and I'm not. And the guy that he punched was just, his face was just all blood. And he was talking to the police, and the girls were far away. And I stood next to the guy, and the police officer on the scene was like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, you know, you could lose your diss in this and this. And I remember standing next to him, and I was like, well, you know, and I remembered I was talking to cops, like two cops. One of them was in handcuffs, and one of them's talking to him like he's stupid. And I'm sitting there like an asshole, and I was like, well, I don't want this to get fucking pinned on me, so I better think quick. So I was like, you know, this guy touched his wife, or they blah, 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 blah. And I was like, you never do that to a cop's wife. And, you know, the cop was like, yeah, you're right. So he's like, is that true? And then this asshole was like, yeah, he did this and this, which is true. And then the police go up to the guy who's bleeding, and basically we're starting to just berate him or yell at him like, you stupid motherfucker, you know you hit a cop, blah, 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 you know, yelling at the guy. And the police officer turns around. He says, you guys, get the fuck out of here. And the idiot I was with was trying to start shit again. I'm like, get the fuck out of here. Let's go, motherfucker. So we went. And caught up with the girls at the time. And so we're walking around trying to blow off steam after this. And they get into another argument with each other. And then dude literally, and this is January 1st, dude literally took off his shirt in the winter and ran off into the night screaming and crying. The police officer, the drunk. Like, on the way, we were trying to get back to the hotel, and dude, like, took off screaming and crying. And I'm with these two whatever girls. So I said, fuck him, man. Let's get the fuck out of here. Let's go to the hotel room. You know, for a little something, you know. And we looked for him just for brief, like, a couple minutes, because obviously that's the father of her children, whatever. And we get to the hotel room. We're hanging out, having a good time, you know, the vibe is good. And then the dude knocks on the door, and he's here. He's just like, fuck you, fuck all, of you, fuck you guys. And she goes and takes him into the bathtub and puts him in the bath with, like, I don't know, hot water, cold water. I just remember it was like a woman, it was like a mother and a child, like, you could hear in the bathroom. I was like, it's okay. But I was already pissed, and I wanted to fight him because he walked into a room and said, fuck you. And for me, you don't disrespect me like that. You could talk to anybody else. You could talk to your wife, whatever. If that's your problem, that's your problem. But you don't tell me, fuck you. So I already want to fight the guy now. And it's fucking like 3 in the morning. So I get kicked out of the hotel room. I get kicked out of the hotel room because I'm tired of this shit. And whatever. I end up spending the night wherever. I don't remember. I was pretty drunk later on. And next thing you know, a couple days later, we're breaking up. Why? My sister says, you're no good. You're a negative, this and this and this. And I was like, what? Are you fucking kidding me? Like, I'm negative? I'm the bad person here? So, honestly, like, that was the last time I went out for New Year's. And oddly enough, in my personal life, there was a little bit of some happenings that were kind of akin to this situation near the holidays. And, you know, when the question came, like, what are we going to do for New Year's and whatnot? I was just as well, what do you want to do? You know? And then I was just like, oh, let's just hang out at home like we always do and just fucking relax while everyone else is being dumb fucking assholes and screaming out into the night and dealing with crying and bleeding adults. And I mean, if there's any picture of New Year's that I would like to paint for any foreigners, it was just happy, crying, angry, bloody. No, I'm just kidding, but you get what I'm saying. So, being that the last year was fucking hell, at least for me personally, obviously, you know, there were some highlights, as I spoke about on the last podcast. If you have not heard that episode, please fucking listen to that episode, because then you'll understand where I've been for the last 10 years. But this year we decided to do it Icelandic style. Now, a lot of people are like, what the fuck, what does that even mean? Apparently Iceland has a certain way of doing things, and as far as New Year's goes, like, they all go home at a certain time to watch this TV show. It's basically like a sketch show. I think it's called Aramota Skypid. And it's like a SNL, but it basically wraps up like the year for like in skit form. And then after the show, everybody else goes out and parties and has a good time. But it's weird that, like, everybody just celebrates they don't look forward to the year. They look back and kind of make fun of the year. Now, if I'm wrong, obviously somebody let me know. But from what we understood is that they party and they reflect on the year that had just passed and make fun of it and, like, laugh it away, like, laugh your problems away. And then at like a certain time, I think 10 o'clock or something, everybody goes back home and they all watch this TV show or this whatever, this skit show, this like SNL show. And then after the show, then they go out and party and have a good time. And dude, like, I was watching that show because we were like, let's do that. You know, we started the fire and exercised some demons that were, you know, within us. And then I think New Year, because we were kind of late about all this shit. I wanted to play a little guitar and stuff and whatever. Some naps were possibly had. I can neither confirm nor deny it. But we watched that show, and I'll be honest with you guys, it's fucking hilarious. Like, you obviously need to watch it with subtitles, but, like, their humor is pretty funny, and it's crude, and it's sort of politically conscious. Like, I remember there was, like, a few skits, well, from the 2018 episode where it's just like dealing with perverts or like, I don't know, man. It's just fucking funny. Like dealing with like perverted priests and groping and all this shit. And they just kind of make fun of all the pieces of shit that like were highlights of their year, like stories or headlines. Like it would be like if we did a sketch show, Saturday Night Live, and did a sketch about Florida Man, or, you know, obviously everybody does sketches about fucking Trump, but who else was, or like Harvey Weinstein or whatever. And, yeah, and there's like nudity and shit. Like you can be naked, or at least we saw a bunch of asses and a bunch of dildos and shit like that. So I need my lozenge. I thought it was hilarious. And, you know, we had a nice dinner, had some drinks. Uber Eats. We're Uber Eats and us are on odd terms right now, but I'll give credit where it's due. Somebody delivered Uber Eats on New Year's Eve to us. So, hey, thank you for whoever who did that. But we got McFlurries. I got a Snickerdoodle McFlurry, and we got a sundae. We ate 12 grapes for each month of the year. We had pork, you know, because apparently pigs don't walk backwards. They look forwards. Stuff like that. I don't know. I'm not very superstitious, but at the same time, I'm Middle Eastern, or I'm of Middle Eastern background. And the whole culture is superstition. And even occultists, like a lot of, I mean, shit, most of it is like superstition. So we did all that stuff, had a good time. Took a little bit to get loose, but we had a great time, the lady and I. And one of the coolest parts about it, aside from listening to Gus Gus, an Icelandic techno or house duo. Yeah, I put that on. I was trying to get into the spirit. Aside from that, like, you know, I was like, well, let's talk about goals for 2020. Well, or also, what were the highlights of the past year? Like, I was getting real creative with it because I've never really had a New Year's like this. A New Year's that, like, actually means something and it's not just an excuse to fucking drink my ass off. So, you know, we talked about, you know, what are the goals for the next year? What are some things we'd like to change in the next year? What are some places we want to see in the next year? You know, stuff like that. And I don't know. I think it's really cool. Like, I highly suggest, even if you're being a drunk ass, to do that. Just because not only do you get just God-honest truth, or I don't know, maybe you're drunk and kind of have your filter off to do that, and with a loved one or whatever, and you really can see where both of your heads are at. You know, like I did that, and I kind of realized, like subliminally, what's important to me, at least in my you would say your subconscious. And like what's important to her, and obviously like real life stuff was more important to her. And with my answers, it was always like music related, which kind of showed me a lot about like where I'm at mentally right now, or who I am as a person, because I'm obviously still hanging on to this lifestyle even after 10 years. But yeah, it was really fun. Highly suggest people to do that. And not to mention, guys, New Year's Eve was kind of my 18 year anniversary of playing shows. Oh my god, 18 years. I'm legal to get fucked now. Unfortunately, I've been getting fucked earlier than this year in terms of the music industry or the music world. So I'll be pressing charges soon enough. No, but 18 years ago, I stepped on stage for the first time. I always post the same picture because I think there's only like two pictures of the show. We played at a clubhouse. It was like I know people from outside of the United States are probably really confused, but you know how some neighborhoods or whatever, communities, some communities have like a pool house or like a clubhouse or like a members house where people just whatever, do whatever. We played one of those, or my old band, my first band. It was called Seracore. It was my idea to call it that because I wanted to be close to Sepultura. And also, I think I was taking Spanish at the time, and I think it was like Sarah means like to be, Seracore, to be hardcore, or to be core. It was so fucking lame, but whatever, dude. I was like, I don't know how old, like early teens, so fuck you. But so we played this show at this clubhouse on New Year's Eve, and I remember my parents were there. And the set consisted of, I remember this, it consisted of four originals and four covers. That was my genius idea. So at my first show, I think I played, and keep in mind, I never could sing and play guitar at the same time until recently, where I had to forcefully learn how to do that. Four Serpents. To remain a touring band. But there were shows when I was younger that I literally just got on stage and was like, I'm going to do it. Like, never rehearsed it, never did anything. And I could never talk, let alone play and sing at the same time. I couldn't talk and play guitar at the same time. So I have this history of like, so-and-so bailed on us, I'll fucking do it. And then like, I would get on stage and pull it off to that, I guess you would call it level. You know, I wasn't perfect or anything, but yeah, we did it. And I think we did back and forth on vocals. And I remember we played a Soulfly song, Korn, because our bass player loved Korn. And obviously I was obsessed with Soulfly or Max Cavalera. We did a System of a Down song for our drummer's sake. And then we did Soulfly, Seek and Strike. We did Korn, Blind. We did System of a Down's I think it's Toxicity. Yeah. Dun, 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 dun. And only because I only agreed to do that is because the ending of that song, where it just fucking hits hard. Hold on. Maybe I could play that little ditty. Hold on. I'm on a 6-string acoustic that's tuned to standard, so you get the gist of it. But that one part is the only reason why I agreed to do that song, because it fucking hits hard. So we did that, and then we did Pantera's Walk, because that was the only thing I could do at the time. And then we did three or four originals. You all can imagine how majestic those were at the time. But I remember we played the show, and since my parents were there, like, there was other bands after us, but my parents were there and they had plans for New Year's, which is basically, we went every year to someone else's house or my grandparents' house in the city. And as soon as I fucking ended that last note, it was like, pack up, let's go, let's go, let's go. And I'm like, okay. You know, I couldn't even like register what just happened. And like, people were coming up to me and like, that was amazing, or you guys were fucking this, or, you know, like back in the day, like, I don't know. That was sort of a sight to see. It's like, whoa, like these guys fucking thrash. To be honest with you, now that I'm thinking about that out loud, like when I was a kid, there was not many like European metal bands like in my area. Like everyone was kind of like nu metal or pop punk or like just like groove metal, to the point like everyone worshiped Pantera or Metallica or whatever. And like to be kind of like Sepultura, In Flames, At the Gates influences like combined into one, people were really like, dude, that was fucking crazy, never heard anything like that. So it was kind of a sight to see. And I just remember I was like, yo, thank you so much, like this is amazing. And my mom's like, let's go, we gotta go. And I'm like, all right, fine. So after my first show, we rushed to the city and did that. But that was 18 years ago. I've been in this fucking industry 18 years. And a lot of people would have stopped by now. But so far, I'm still here. Still hopeful for the next years to come. And yeah, I don't know. A lot of dreams were accomplished. I know we were just talking about goals, and then my ADD kicked in and I started rambling about other shit. But honestly, you know, I was trying to think of goals for 2020 or goals for the next decade, and I really couldn't think of much aside from the obvious. But, you know, you have to remember, guys, like I accomplished a lot of my goals or aspirations before I was 21, you know, we hit the Billboard charts before 21, got signed before 21, toured the world before 21, CDs in stores, before 21. Like a lot of the shit I dreamed of, you know, Guitar World magazine before 21, Revolver before 21, you know, like the only things that I didn't accomplish were things that like don't exist anymore, like Circus magazine or fucking Hit Parade. I mean, well, maybe Hit Parade is still around, but you know, so it's like I did all this shit, and it's like for the past decade, as I talked about in the last podcast, it's like, I've just been kind of coasting, but like creating the best work I've ever done. Does that make sense? So for the past 10 years, I've been coasting, trying to continue playing music and trying to stay relevant in a sense. But at the same time, I'm by myself making like the best music or best material that I've ever done. And to be honest with you, it's so frustrating. It's like, okay, for the past 10 years, I've been fucking making the best shit, and it's not catching as far as the shit that I didn't think too much about, or the shit that I kind of like half-assed. Go figure, right? You spend 10 years on a certain format, a certain craft, and you're trying to perfect that sound, and you're like, yes, this is it, this is gonna be it, this is my masterpiece. And then you're like, oh, people are still talking about the thing you half-assed when you're like a young teenager. Cool. But that's life. Speaking of goals, so you know, I couldn't really think of any goals or any big ones. Obviously, I had some obvious ones for the coming year, not only for my sake, but for my bandmates' sake. But one goal I did have that I never got to accomplish until now, so it might be considered cheating, but I would say I still got all the goals accomplished before the decade, is that I always wanted to go to NAMM, or NAMM, which, for those of you listening, is a musical conference held in, I almost said Colorado. It's this weed, I'm telling you guys. It's a musical conference held in California, where basically all the instrument companies and whatever, inventors and all this stuff, all the stuff that falls under that category, they all go to this conference in California, I think twice a year. Once is in California, and then the summer one is somewhere else, but the big one is winter. And I never got to go. As many years as I've been in the business, and as many years as I've been in Indoor C, you know, my picture in fucking catalogs, my picture on the actual walls in the booths at NAMM or NAMM, and I never got to go, you know, and I never got to rub shoulders with all the fucking, you know, all the greats. I did on my own terms, or on my own life's journey. But, you know, as far as being a part of that kind of, I guess you could call it, convention fanfare, I never got to do that until now. So, you know, I've been, what's it called, planning or playing or paying for, you know, the tickets and for all that. Well, not the actual conference, but getting plane tickets, and got the hotel booked, got a nice hotel booked because I'm taking the lady with me. We're going to have a little makeshift vacation. It's going to be a part work, part play, hopefully mostly play for me. But yeah, I mean, things have been kind of crazy, but that was something I'm accomplishing now. So, you know, I guess moving it forward into 2020, one of my immediate goals is to go to NAMM. And for any of my California friends listening, I'm trying to get fucking tattooed. What the fuck is up? If y'all want to tattoo me, let me know. Send me a message, please. But I'm trying to get tattooed. Trying to get some weed. I know weed is legal there. I know, because every time I go to California, I try and hit up as many dispensaries as I can. And trying to get some weed in California. Trying to get some good food, you know? Some good seafood. If you guys got any good recommendations. I know we're going to be in Anaheim, but I know I'm going to be trying to hit up LA for a little bit. Be trying to do some interviews. Trying to get tattooed. Trying to touch some butts. Trying to maybe go to the beach a little bit, maybe, I don't know. Kind of scary right now, being that it's California and it's a coastline, it's a coastal city or state, and everyone's talking about World War III, and yeah, that's a whole other subject that I'm going to get into right now. No, just kidding. World War III is trending on just... How about this, guys? Just for chronicle's sake. Chronicling? Yeah, chronicling. Just for chronicling's sake, let me put a timestamp on this podcast. So it's January 5th, 2020. So we're 5 days into the new year, and the whole world is talking about World War III. It's trending on TikTok. It's trending on Twitter. The memes are coming in real hot on Facebook and all things social media. And I think that because it's trending and spreading so fast, and social media is obviously the algorithm loves to see fucking spreadable content. And unfortunately, it's never content that's positive. Well, it is sometimes, oh, so-and-so donated to this charity, or so-and-so went to this homeless shelter. Look at, you would not believe the response he got, or whatever. And of course, people fucking buy into that shit, but it's like, hey, I got a new fucking album. Nothing. Hey, we got these pre-orders for nothing. Hey, here's a meme. Oh my god. Like, share. It's like, fuck it. God damn it. But everybody's sharing these memes about World War III, and I think that plus the media is putting everything into a tailspin, just like the impeachment thing. And like I said, I'm not going to get political right now, but honestly, if you want my opinion about anything, don't be scared. If anything happens, it's going to happen. I went to Russia during wartime, so I'm still here. And obviously, it was scary because everybody hated Obama at the time. And I think at the time when I was in Russia, we drove by Chechnya, and that was like shortly after the Chechenian bomber. And I remember the person we were, our tour manager, was like, okay, so we're on this highway, and to the left is whatever, Russia or whatever, and to the right is Chechnya, which is this is a war zone. And she said sometimes they throw mines, or they put mines on the highway, so we have to look out for that. And meanwhile, our driver Ruslan, shout out to Ruslan, not a good guy, he was driving like 90 miles an hour. So I was like, oh yeah, we're totally going to fucking see a mine in the street and not, we're totally going to slow down and not crash or not fucking hit a mine. So that was fun. But don't be scared and don't buy into what the media is telling you, and don't pay attention to the fucking memes. Don't pay attention to the volume of people shouting atop from the mountain, because that's what it is. The algorithm sees it as spreadable content, so it's spreading it further and further and further, getting more people angry, getting more people scared, getting more people, you know, happy, whatever. And the media, just like the impeachment, they took a little instance or whatever, put a little bit of fear and panic into it, and put a label on it, and blew it the fuck out of proportion. So then socials blow out of proportion, and then the media keeps it going. Then they start talking about World War III and all this shit, and it's just fucking crazy, crazy, crazy. But if you look at the actual situation unfolding right now, it's not very crazy. Dude broke the rules. He got assassinated. Now the politics have to come into play, or, you know, use of force. But that's simply it. But it's kind of shitty that I'm going to be in California at this time, because, yeah, it's a coastal city, but I am fully invested and confident that the American might will overcome any domestic problems. I mean, here's another thing. I've been all over the world, guys, and you can ask any touring musician. You know, I'm no different, but you can ask any touring musician, you know, do you fear for a takeover of America? Do you fear for this or whatever? Are you going to, do you fear playing in this country, or do you fear whatever? Honestly, no. I mean, maybe I'm just alone in this, but I've seen America, and it's big, and I've seen American people. They're angry. They're wild. They like to have a good time, and they kind of laugh at, the dangers of some situations, and I've been all over the country, or I've been all to other countries, and whatever. I mean, they have a good time too. They're fucking crazy, and you know, their countries a lot of the times aren't as big. But you know, I've been to Russia, man. I've been to Russia for about a month, and fucking, I had a great time. The Russian people, little bit of some, I don't know what you would call friction, like. When we would be at the shows, like we would call it the bubble, like around the show, like fucking people were awesome. Everybody was so nice. Everybody was fucking just kind and excited to see us and excited to talk to us. You know, they would flank our little Sprinter van, and like, dude, it was nuts. It was fucking nuts. But like, we would walk down the street and go to like a bar or go to a restaurant, and we would get treated like shit until, like, you know, whatever, we would, our tour manager would make the case like, hey, these guys are this and this, you know, they're not, you know, here to like take your women, or they're not here to cause problems, or they're not here to spy on you. And then people would be a little bit funnier and nicer. But I remember we actually got kicked out of a McDonald's because people were saying that they were scared, or they thought we were like mafia related or some shit. And I was like, and I remember being like, bitch, I'm from Chicago. Like, do you know where fucking McDonald's came from? Fuck you. You get out of McDonald's. But like, I don't know. Like, I really enjoy Russian people, and I think the country is huge, and the whole culture is fucking like, it's like the Wild West. And I have no problems with Russia. I don't want to fucking fight for Russian people. And Russian people, for the most part, don't want to fucking fuck with Americans. They think we're cool too. And this is why I don't buy into all this shit. Because it's like, I've seen America. You don't want to fuck with America. I've seen Russia. I've seen all these other countries. You don't want to fuck with them because they have their own qualities. They have their own quirks. They have their own whatever. It's like, for me, as a traveling person, a well-traveled person, it's like, there's good and there's bad to each society. Unfortunately, when you're over there, you look at the news, and every fucking, like, we'll call it Florida man, every Florida man is on the news speaking on all of our behalfs. And, you know, thankfully, the intellectuals of whatever country would see that and be like, you guys aren't like that. You guys are your own thing. You guys are fucking cool. However, you need to do this, 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 this. And the same thing goes for us. Like, for people that don't leave the country, they think everyone everywhere else are fucking lunatics and, you know, death to America and all this shit. And then you go over there and they're not all fucking lunatics and backwoods and fucking, you know, death to everybody. It's like, this is the media. It's the media's doing. And the media is whipping people into a frenzy, into nationalists, you know. I mean, TikTok, you go on TikTok right now, literally, it's all World War III memes, and it's all fucking, you're going to die, you're going to die, like, to Iran, which is great. Like, it's good to see people rallying for once, like, for their country, like, being proud of where they're from. But at the same time, all these other countries are seeing how we're acting, and then they're going to react and make their memes, and then, you know, then there's a cultural fucking divide. Like, I know you're listening to this and you're like, dude, what are you talking about? But like, seeing us being all fucking puffy chested now and like, yeah, motherfucker, we're gonna kill everybody and all this shit, which is fine, but don't do it on a fucking platform where everyone else is also doing the same thing for their country. So that all you're gonna have is like fucking a divide, and no one's gonna want, you know, no one's going to want to see your ass on fucking vacation when you go to Germany or wherever the fuck, and vice versa. Like, you don't want, I don't know, man. I'm just babbling. I'm going to Iceland in September. I'm excited. I'm going to see Wardruna in Iceland. It was a Christmas present for my lady. I don't want any fucking problems. I know Iceland's like its own thing, but I'm just saying, I don't want to go into fucking Iceland and be looked at like a fucking American asshole. It's like, I'm an asshole, just me. I don't want an American label next to that. Everybody knows I'm just an asshole, so just call me an asshole. Don't drag my country with me. But, so yeah, going to NAM or NAM, and hopefully I make it back. You know, maybe the legal weed in California will help ease my mind while I'm there, but also knowing the craziness of my country and the craziness of the people that inhabit my country also puts me at ease. So I, you know, hey, fucking stepping into the new decade, guns blazing, I guess. Now, when I spoke about weed in California, I don't know if you guys know this, but weed is now legal in Illinois. How fucking cool is that? What a time to be alive. I know this podcast is running a little bit long, but this is going to be the last point. Last night, you know, because January 1st, my lady and I attempted to get weed legally for the first time in Illinois. Because we both got weed from California and Colorado. And I'm not like a huge pothead or anything, but, you know, I do like to smoke and unwind. And that's basically where I make a lot of my good ideas. But we bought weed, or we tried to buy weed legally on January 1st. And the lines everywhere were fucking absolutely insane. Like 3-4 hours. Some people, you know, at 3 o'clock, we were seeing that people were in line from 9 a.m. And, you know, I was just like, fuck these normies. All these people, all these moms and dads are fucking like, oh, let's buy weed for the first time. And I was like, yeah, fuck this. Like, it's not worth it. So on the 4th, so what was that? 3 days later, we decided last night, let's go to a dispensary, and this is like 6:45, because we went to the gym, and I was like, let's try and get some weed. It's Saturday night, and, the dispensary by us closed at what, Monday? I was like, let's try and do it. You guys, fucking craziness from the parking lot attendants, because, so the dispensary I went to is across the street from the police station. Yeah, think about that. So the dispensary is across the street from the police station. So as soon as you're pulling up, you see a cop car parked across the street watching everything that's going on from across the street. So immediately you're like, what? I'm like, it's a trap. So I pull into the parking lot. Immediately in the parking lot, there's like a traffic conductor. And I was like, oh my God, this is not going to be good. So I get into the parking lot. Everybody's fucking gunning for spots and whatever. We see the line. It's not too bad, but we see the line and, whatever, we get in line. Well, first I drop my girlfriend off, and I'm like, hey, get in line so I can fucking find a parking spot. So I get in line, she's sending me updates, whatever you would call it, as things are happening. And, you know, people were in line outside for like an hour. Some people were saying 30 minutes, whatever. So I go down the street and I wait for a while. And she's giving me updates about how the line's moving. So then I decide to come back because they were cutting people off at like 7. And got a parking space. And I will say this. From California to Colorado, beautiful experience buying weed, right? Legal weed. You walk into the shops, you walk into whatever. Everybody's cool. They're kind. They're funny. Everybody's having a good time. They'll walk you through everything. Honestly, like buying weed in Illinois on January 4th, hopefully this will get better. It was seriously like getting checked in to go to jail. And that's my only reference because I've never been a political prisoner yet. And I've never been whatever. And when I was, when I went to Cook County Jail to shoot Proven Innocent, some Fox TV show, we were checked in and by the officers and all this stuff. And, you know, they're barking directions at you. And you kind of feel like you're going to jail or you're going to military school or whatever, you're going into boot camp. That's the way they were treating people at the Illinois dispensary. Like yelling at you, fucking get closer in line. We want to pack more, pack more, pack more. Stuff like that. And like dudes had bulletproof vests on, fucking even the parking attendants were fucking yelling at people like, go, go, get the fuck out of here. Go. You're blocking the fucking thing. Go, go. You know, like, and I get that normal people are kind of overwhelmed by this. But like, you know, you come from the concert world and it's like, okay, if you need to direct traffic or you need to clear up traffic and people are, you just have to, I'm sorry, guys, but you just have to accept that the general public is fucking stupid. So when I went to go pull back into the dispensary, like there was a guy I don't know how to describe this. There was a guy in the opposite lane trying to get out of the parking lot. And I'm trying to get into the parking lot and the cops across the street still just doing nothing. And, you know, I'm getting flagged by the guy to like, don't pull in. And there's this guy just too scared to get out of the parking lot for some reason. And traffic's starting to build up. So I pull in and oncoming traffic doesn't stop for this guy. And the guy's yelling at me. He's yelling at the car. And then he's like, all right, you can go. And I'm like, yeah, no shit. Because I'm trying to relieve the traffic in the street, you stupid fuck. So I know what I'm doing. So I'm like, okay, here's an opening. I'm going to get behind this idiot and go my normal lane, right? I know this is kind of hard to describe, but basically the guy was on the opposite side of the road and blocking my entrance. So then people were like trying to like the people behind him saw me coming down and they're like, oh, they were trying to block me. And I was like, are you stupid? Are you all stupid? Then the guy's yelling at me like, hold on, hold on. Then I just hear him like hitting this guy's car. And I'm like, what is this? Like, if you've been around concerts or you've been around actual security, like you would know, all right, tell this car to stay here. I'm going to go on the street, hold off traffic so this car can get out of here. Instead, he was just screaming at himself and all this shit. So then you get in line and they're barking orders. They're barking, you know, this is how you do it. Do it, hand it in, and then we'll get the order for you and you get the fuck out. You know, it's like there was no like, what do you guys have? Or, you know, oh, I like sativas a little bit more. What do you guys have that's more sativa dominant and this and this and this? It was literally, here's the list, circle what you want, hand it in, wait, push in tighter. Okay, now you get checked out. All right, goodbye. All right, next. I'm like, what is this? You know? So part of me hopes that Illinois gets its act together. The highlight of the whole thing, though, was just the people. Everybody was just having a good time. And despite, you know, there was one guy in line when they were like, we're cutting everybody off at 7 o'clock, which is what they told us. And thankfully we got in before 7. we got in the door before 7, but people were still outside and they had to go. But then after that, they unlocked the door. It was like, okay, what the fuck was that all about? But anyways, like, they're like, we're cutting people off before after 7. And somebody's like, oh, hell no. You know, it's just like, it was just funny, man. We were all laughing, you know, like even that guy, like, everybody was just having a good time laughing. And, you know, there was old people in line, young people in line. Some people drove from far away. And it was just like the characters in the line were just, I don't know, it was worth the trouble. And my lady, you know, went through most of it because they separated couples upon entering the building. So you could, because there was like a limit on the weed you could buy, which again, like, okay. So they put a limit on the weed you could buy. Then they separated couples, not to the point where like you can go and then you can go. It's like, no, one of you has to leave and then you can go. So my lady went in because I just didn't have the patience for people like that. Just average people pretending to be generals or fucking commanders with bulletproof vests, basically rejects, barking orders at me like I'm a fucking moron. So I decided, all right, I need to get out of here because I'm probably going to get into a fight with an average person pretending to be a cop. So again, I have authority issues. But she, you know, she sent me pictures of like what it looked like, and it straight up looked like a nightmare I've had where I was like a political prisoner or something going to jail. And it was a stale office building, freshly painted, at least from the pictures I saw. And I was like, wow, this is just dystopian almost. It's like you're going in line to get rations. It's fucking weird, but hopefully, you know, weed's legal in Illinois. Hopefully more places open up. I mean, if I had half of a brain, I would open up a dispensary, but I mean, I can barely get you guys to buy pre-orders, so I doubt that will happen anytime soon. But yeah, hopefully Illinois gets its act together on the same level as California and Colorado. And for everybody bitching about the taxes, I mean, the taxes, honestly, in contrast to Colorado and California, it's not that much different. So stop romanticizing, you know, what we don't have, and just fucking enjoy what we have now. You know, enjoy the fact that, hey, your neighbors won't be able to fucking call the cops on you in your fucking apartment complex because, you know, they smell smoke or whatever. Like, just fucking enjoy it. Stop complaining about every little thing that doesn't go your way. And just enjoy what we have. You know, we got legal weed. Fucking someone like me who has insane back problems and someone who doesn't want to take Adderall. Hey, maybe I want to take the alternative route. Maybe I want some sativa weed. Maybe I want some indica weed to fucking cure my back or help cure my back pain. Stop fucking complaining. All right? So anyways, I've talked long enough. This is more of a longer podcast as I'm looking at the clock, counting down. And this is a fun one. Hope you guys enjoyed this podcast as much as I did making this. This was actually a lot of fun to just kind of let loose and talk about the mischief. See, I had to bring it back. Mischief, magic, and mystery. This one was definitely more of the mischief mindset. So yeah, I don't know, guys. Did you enjoy this podcast? I hope so. Oh shit! We got a question from Evil Danny, or Dina, is her real name. Again, the long reigning champ of questions, because you guys are fucking too scared to ask me questions when I ask you to ask me questions, versus getting unsolicited questions all year round. But she asks, and I'm going to kind of bust this one out really quick. What genre would you never listen to or play as far as music goes? And the answer is this: Christian music. Finished. question answered. I'm not even going to explain why I don't want to play or listen to Christian music. Dunzo. So, as always, please rate the podcast, subscribe to the podcast, make sure to ask me questions when I ask on socials. So follow me on Instagram at Andrucifer, A-N-D-R-U-C-I-V-E-R, or hit me up on Facebook, ask me questions on Facebook. And the same goes for featured artists. If you have a band you would like me to feature or a song you would like me to feature, please submit just submit pretty much all year round, and I will facilitate that for you. And I always got to close it out with some Serpents plugs. So if you did not catch that before, follow Serpents on Spotify at Serpents US, Facebook.com/ We Are Serpents, Serpents Metal on Instagram, We Are Serpents at Twitter. Please pick up a CD or a shirt or a pre-order at weareserpents.bandcamp.com, or you can just find all this stuff at weareserpents.com. Okay? So for today's featured artist, we are featuring a band called Portals. These guys, I kind of fell into these guys a while ago when I was trying to book some shows in Central Illinois. One of the guys, James, I don't know if he goes by Jim or James, but, we kind of got to talking a while ago on about shows. And then the last show we played at Reggie's in Chicago, dude was there. We kind of hit it off, just talking shop and talking shit. And showed me his band, and I had no idea pretty much about the band or the sound or any of that stuff. So I decided to check it out, and these guys actually rip. So this track is from Portals. It's called Burdened, and it's off of their EP called Desolation. It came out sometime last year. You can find them on Spotify, YouTube, Bandcamp, Apple Music. They also asked me to announce that they're going to be playing Reggie's in Chicago for you Chicago initiates on January 22nd. They're going to be playing with Shadow of Intent, My Boys in Fairy, Signs of the Swarm, and Brand of Sacrifice. All right. So make sure to check them out and to just fucking be you and stay cool and don't be scared. All right, guys, we'll see you guys next week. Later.